Blog Talk Radio.
Before the Congressional Committee to tell what I knew of activities which might lead to an attempt to set up a fascist dictatorship.
The potential for the disastrous rise of misplaced power exists and will persist.
The very word secrecy is repugnant in a free and open society. And we are, as a people, inherently and historically opposed to secret societies, to secret oaths, and to secret proceedings.
President Bush signed a formal agreement that will end the United States as we know it. And he took the step without approval from either the U.S. Congress or the people of the United States.
The secret organizations of the world power elite are no longer secret.
And if anybody wants to protest what we do or violate what we want, we just turn off the chip.
That's right, microchips. In 2005, Congress, under the pretense of immigration control and the so-called war on terrorism, passed the REAL ID Act, under which it is projected by May 2008, you will be required to carry around a federal identification card, which includes on it a scannable barcode with your personal information. However, this barcode is only an intermediary step before the card is equipped with a VeriChip RFID tracking module, which will use radio frequencies to track your every move on the planet. If this sounds foreign to you, please note that the RFID tracking chip is already in all new American passports. And the final step is the implanted chip, which many people have already been manipulated into accepting under different pretenses.
We have a Florida family who are really pioneers in a brave new world. They have volunteered to be the first ever to have microchip identification devices implanted into their bodies.
After 9/11, I was really concerned with the security of my family.
I wouldn't mind having something planted permanently in my arm that would identify me.
In the end, everybody will be locked into a monitored control grid where every single action you perform is documented. And if you get out of line, they can just turn off your chip, for at that point in time, every single aspect of society will revolve around interactions with the chips. This is the picture that is painted for the future if you open your eyes to see it. A centralized one-world economy where everyone's moves and everyone's transactions are tracked and monitored, all rights removed. The most incredible aspect of all, these totalitarian elements will not be forced upon the people. The people will demand them. For the social manipulation of society through the generation of fear and division has completely detached humans from their sense of power and reality. A process which has been going on for centuries, if not millennia. Religion, patriotism, race, wealth, class, and every other form of arbitrary, separatist identification, thus conceit, has served to create a controlled population, utterly malleable in the hands of the few. Divide and conquer is the motto, and as long as people continue to see themselves as separate from everything else, they lend themselves to being completely enslaved. The men behind the curtain know this, and they also know that if people ever realize the truth of their relationship to nature, and the truth of their personal power, the entire manufactured zeitgeist they prey upon will collapse like a house of cards.
The whole system that we live in drills into us that we're powerless, that we're weak, that our society is evil, that it's fragmented, etc., and so forth. It's all a big, fat lie. We are powerful, beautiful, extraordinary. There is no reason why we cannot understand who we truly are, where we are going. There is no reason why the average individual cannot be fully empowered. We are incredibly powerful beings.
Now, I think I spent 30 years of my life, in the first 30, trying to become something.
I wanted to become good at things. I wanted to become good at tennis. I wanted to become good at school and grades and everything I kind of viewed in that perspective. I'm not okay the way I am, but if I got good at things, I realized that I had the game wrong. The game was to find out what I already was.
For individual differences to stand out. So you look at each person, the immediate hit is brighter, dumber, older, younger, richer, poorer, and we make all these dimensional distinctions, put them in categories and treat them that way. And we get so that we only see others as separate from ourselves in the ways in which they're separate. And one of the dramatic characteristics of experience is being with another person and suddenly seeing the ways in which they are like you, not different from you. And experiencing the fact that which is essence in you and which is essence in me is indeed one. The understanding that there is no other. It is all one. And I wasn't born Richard Alpert. I was just born as a human being. And then I learned this whole business of who I am and whether I'm good or bad or achieving or not. All that's learned along the way.
Like a ride in an amusement park. And when you go on it, you think it's real,
because that's how powerful our minds are. And the ride goes up and down and round. It has thrills and chills, and it's very brightly colored.
And it's very loud, and it's fun for a while. Some have been on the ride for a long time, and they begin to question, is this real, or is this just a ride?
And other people have remembered, and they come back to us, and they say, hey, don't worry.
Don't be afraid ever. Because this is just a ride. And we kill those people.
Shut him up! I've got a lot invested in this ride! Shut him up!
Look at my furrows of worry. Look at my big bank account
and my family. This has to be real. It's just a ride. But we'll kill those good guys
and try and tell us that. You ever notice that? And let the demons run amok?
But it doesn't matter. Because it's just a ride. And we can change it anytime we want.
Only the choice. No effort, no work, no job, no savings of money.
Just a choice right now between fear and love.
My name is Joseph Gibson. We are on Blog Talk Radio, live, 100% live. I hope everyone is doing well tonight. It's a little after 6:30 p.m. The show has been cut down 30 minutes tonight. We are only an hour-long broadcast tonight because it is Friday evening. Okay? Usually we broadcast for 90 minutes each night, but Fridays will be a one-hour-long show. After all, we all know it's cuckoo night. Friday night, party night, right? For all the teenagers out there and the college students, hey, You don't believe me? Go take a drive downtown in your major city. Whether you live in Florida, Georgia, North Carolina, Connecticut, wherever you live, if you live in Connecticut, take a drive down to New Haven. You'll see all the cuckoos out Friday night, party night, right? Run the streets. Hey, bar hopping, especially those college students, no class tomorrow, it's Saturday. High school students, no class tomorrow, it's Saturday. It's cuckoo night. Those of you who know what's going on in the world and you want to stay away from crap like that, lock your door, deadbolt it, keep that .45 close to your side, and stay in your house and mind your own business. Let everyone else kill each other. Because that's what happens over at night. You know, my great-grandmother told me bad things happen at night. We lock the doors and we go to sleep. We're not out running the streets at night. Because when the sun goes down, bad things happen. My grandmother, Teresa Keidel, she's passed away since, but that's what she told me back in 1984 when I was sleeping over her house in Wallingford, Connecticut. She said, bad things happen at night. You don't need to be out roaming the streets. Bad people come out and they do bad things. My Aunt Clara, who lived four houses down from her sister, because that's how people were back then. They lived close to each other or with each other, and they helped each other out, and they spent days with each other. Every day they would make contact with each other. We don't do that anymore, of course. We know the American, we've discussed this plenty of times already. We know the American family don't mean crap anymore, okay? But my Aunt Clara, I went over there. We'd have soda and chips and sit down and watch TV, you know, at 6 o'clock at night. Say, hey, it's getting dark. You guys got to get home. You don't want to be out at night? You know, nightfall, 8, 9 o'clock at night? What do? We're all getting ready, tucking in, a little snack at night, and we go to bed. That's the family way. That's the right way. And we get up bright and early on a Saturday morning, what do? We either go out to breakfast together or, you know, we got things to do together. You know, when I was on the farm, we did the same thing. We all worked together. Hey, 8, 9 o'clock at night, we weren't getting dressed, getting all geared up, putting the makeup on. Let's go out bar hopping on the farm. Hell no. We got to get up in 7 hours and we got to milk 40 cows. We got to feed those cows 3 times. We got to feed the silage, the hay, and the grain. We got to clean up their shit. Because what happens when an animal eats? It shits, right? When you feed your dog, what do? You got to walk it. It shits. Nature. That's what happens. What do you do when you eat? You go to the bathroom, right? Well, on a farm, that's the way it works. We go out, we feed the animals. What do? We clean up the crap, spread it on the field, because that's the fertilizer to help things grow, believe it or not. It may sound disgusting to you, but it doesn't to a farmer, because we know the laws of nature. We know why things are done the way they are. We don't see it as disgusting. We're living off the land. We're doing the right thing. We're not living the madness of the law of society like I played last night. We're not standing at Walmart's front door at 4 o'clock in the morning to stomp on little children and women to get a $20 toaster on sale or a $198 laptop. We don't do those things. The Republic, the people who believe in the Republic, the farmers, the people who are out there growing gardens, the people who are out there who know about the things that are happening today, the people who understand the times in which we live in today. That's the title of this show, Understanding the Times in Which We Live In Today. If you think it's bullshit or you don't believe in it and you don't agree with it, or if I'm boring you, hey, makes no difference to me. I'm still going to talk every night. I'm still going to have my say. I'll still have people supporting me because I know they're there listening. And we will grow. It takes time, hard work, and effort. Nothing happens overnight. It takes years to accomplish what you want. That's why when you work your entire life, what do? You collect Social Security at the end in your retirement, because it took years to accomplish that. You receive a pension after you've completed your career when you retire. Why? Because you worked for it. But today, the younger generation doesn't understand what work is. They don't understand how to work every single day and put days in of work, hours of work, blood, sweat, and tears. They don't understand that. We want results now. You told me yesterday you were going to do this for me. I want it now. And we want gratification now. We want self-gratification now. And we don't care who we step on to get it. We don't care who we offend to get it. We want it now. Like I said, when I was on the farm, what did we do? Actually, we were in bed by 9. Okay? 9:30. Sometimes we stay awake a little bit late on the weekends to hang out and watch that TV show on TV just to laugh and have fun. And then we'd get up. You know, if we didn't have anything important to do during the day, we didn't have to go out and cut hay or rake up some hay or do some baling, bale some hay, you know, or make some silage or make the grain, grind up the grain. You know, it's a full-time job here. You got animals. You got 40 to 80 animals out there. Some in the field, some in the barn. They got to eat. You got to clean up the shit after them. They go to the bathroom everywhere. You got to clean it up. You got to keep things neat. You know, you got to feed them. You got dogs to take care of. You got chickens to take care of. You know, see, this is the farmers. These are the people who feed you. These are the people that provide the milk on your dinner table at night. Those of you who wear a suit and tie, who don't know anything about real hard work. Don't tell me you're working hard, carrying around a stack of papers in an office building. Come on. It may be stressful, but it's not work. Okay? We know what happens in those offices. Come on. The women standing at the water cooler with the mini skirts on. Come on. We all know. It's a big game. It's all a bunch of nonsense. All right? You're pushing papers, pushing numbers around. You're not out there working the land. You're not out there understanding nature. You're not out there with the earth. You're not out there putting your hands in the dirt. You know, if any of you have ever planted something, planted a tree or planted a garden, when you stick your hands in the dirt, you know, it feels good. Or you go out there with the water and you water that plant. Or you feed an animal like a cow or a pig or a chicken, you know, and you feed them, it feels good. You want to know why? Because that's your conscience. It's natural. It's natural. That's what men were made to do. Well, what about the women? Here we go, you know. Well, the woman also is in charge of the home. Some women actually participate in the labor, but most women, they're tending to the children, taking care of the family, cooking, cleaning, another hard job, okay? And the woman, at the end of the day, feels good, just like the man, after cooking and cleaning and providing for the family and helping each other out. Because there's nothing like a good mother who knows how to take care of her children and take care of her house, feed her man, and be like a good woman. When I was out on the farm, we had a family. Okay? The mother of the family cooked, cleaned. Okay? The man of the family did the hardcore labor. You know? And when the man couldn't do it, of course the woman could do it because she was trained and educated in the ways of the farm. We were a family. We worked together. Today, we don't have those types of institutions anymore. Like I said, we're standing at the water cooler with a woman who's got the best skirt on for today. Okay? We got Donald Trump running for president, the big showboat. You know? Every single interview I've seen of him, he's never answered one freaking question. He puts on a show. And I got to admit, he does a damn good job. He's an entertainer. He's a businessman. He's a liar. He's lived in the business world. He's worked for money. He's made a lot of money. Money, the love of money, the root of all evil. Listen, hats off to him. We all want it. We all want more money. I want money. I'd like to have a lot more money. Sure, we all do. The more we get, the greedier we get. The more we get, the more we spend. The more we spend, the more we want. Right? Am I right? Those from the older generations, what do? They grew up in the Depression years. They grew up during World War II, the Korean War. And even those of you who grew up in the Vietnam era, you know what it means to save that dollar. Because one day it may not be such available as it is today. It may not be that readily available or easily spendable like it is today. Because you saw hard times back during those days. And those of you who are younger, you don't have a clue as to what I'm actually talking about here right now. But listen to my words and pay attention and try to learn something instead of wanting your instant gratification, like I said in the beginning. Because we gotta have it now. Patience is a virtue. You ever heard that saying? Patience is a virtue. Why? Because patience. You got to have patience. Things will formulate and come together as time goes on. Because you're just a person. You're living flesh. You're not living in the time that our conscience is living, or the spiritual being is living, or even the God that I believe in is living. Because they say, 1,000 years to God is a one day. Actually, 1,000 years to man is one day to God. That's what I meant to say. I'm sorry. Because he's larger than life. Our creator knows. Because we're living in the flesh. We want to please ourselves. We want to feel good. Right? Because we live in the flesh. We want our bodies to feel good. We want our conscience to feel good. We want our minds to feel good. We want our souls to feel good. We want our hearts to feel good. And we're always searching for that self-gratification. What does this have to do with farming and what I just talked about? Because what I'm trying to tell you is the natural way of living, like I told you about sticking your hands in the dirt and the soil, planting a plant or planting a tree and then watering it or producing a vegetable or whatever, planting flowers, whatever it is, or raising animals and taking care of animals. That is the natural way of living. That's not of the flesh. That's of a spiritual, natural way. It's your conscience because the key word is natural. It feels good naturally. I was never sad when I worked on the farm. I was always happy because I felt good because I was doing something naturally. Yes, I would. Yes, it's hard work. And you're going to sweat. And you're going to bleed. Blood, sweat, and tears. That's hard work. Hey, you can thank Adam and Eve for that. We'll go back to the Bible on that one. Because ever since the curse of Adam and Eve, man has had to achieve success through blood, sweat, and tears. Okay? Through the Garden of Eden. Remember, man had everything in the Garden of Eden. He knew everything. He had God at his fingertips. But he disobeyed God the Creator, and he ate of the tree of knowledge because he wanted to know everything. And what happened when he ate of the tree of knowledge? His eyes were opened and he saw everything that God saw. And God was like, oh my Lord, what have I done? I told you not to do that. And you went and did it. Now you know what we know, the gods. Well, you're living in the flesh. You can't handle what the gods know. So what has happened now? Well, God punished his creation. for disobeying him. It's just like you with your son, your animal, your pets, or whatever. You punish them for them disobeying you. And that's what God did. He punished Adam and Eve. They're the first parents. They're the parents of you, me, and everyone else. They're the parents of man, okay, man and woman. He punished them disobeying him. And that's why you have to work by the sweat of your brow, like the Bible says, through blood, sweat, and tears, to achieve happiness. But when you work through blood, sweat, and tears naturally, you feel pretty good. Back to the farm, back to gardening, back to raising animals. You feel pretty darn good. But when you work in an office and man's way of earning a living through blood, sweat, and tears, what do you get? Immorality? What did I just talk about? The woman standing at the water cooler? Well, what do you get in the office? Come on. I worked in an office, too, at one time. Come on. Ooh, she looks good. Wow. Yeah. The women, too. Immorality? Hey, you got yourself hot. Yeah, I do it on the side. Yeah. Immorality, drugs, everything. You can get everything in those man-made worlds of workmanship. You can get it all. We're all chasing that money together. Look at Wall Street, the corrupt instance. Oh, good. We don't even want to get into that. That'll take the rest of the show up right there. But we all know those people, what they, you know, those aren't good people. The international bankers, the Wall Street tycoons. But that's a little bit of philosophy and a little spirituality that I wanted to open up with tonight. I mean, I hope I enlightened a few people there about some things. Some things that I read. I actually read a lot of that, what I talked about tonight. And if there's anyone that wants to chime in and talk about what I talked about tonight, or if you have something on your mind that is bothering you, you're more than welcome to call in. 657-383-0616. You press 1, and you'll be connected to me live on the air. You can remain anonymous if you wish. Okay? But there's one story real quick before I start taking calls that caught my eye, and I don't know if they've gotten my message yet, but I'm going to try within the next day, or I'm going to discredit them also. There was 21 students that were suspended in the state of Virginia. Okay, I guess they all got together, and they wore T-shirts with the Confederate flag on it. And apparently, that goes against school policy. And they're not allowed to wear a shirt with any type of symbol of the Confederate flag on it because it's school policy, and the Board of Education has deemed that the Confederate flag offends people. Okay? If you want to wear a shirt that says Gay Pride, you want to wear a shirt with a rainbow on it, you know? Or if you're a Muslim and you want to wear a shirt with the Prophet Muhammad or the Quran with quotes from the Quran on it, hey, that's okay. Because you're a Christian and if it offends you, that don't matter. Well, I reached out to a few of these people that were suspended, a few of these teenagers, and I don't know if a lawyer has gotten hold of them yet because they plan on suing. You know, that's not going to go anywhere. These mega attorneys have already reached onto that for publicity. I was reading the news articles today. I'm going to really get into it Sunday night, I think, when I do the show. But I reached out to them on Facebook and sent a lot of these teenagers messages saying, hey, if you want to call into this show and speak your mind and give your side of the story for being suspended from your school for wearing a T-shirt with a Confederate flag symbol, then you're more than welcome to. And I kind of did it at a last-minute notice, so they may not have time to have read the messages yet or are willing to call in yet. They may have to consult with their parents or what have you. I don't know. But that is something I'm trying to line up for this weekend because I would like to hear from those teenagers. We heard from younger people last night on the show, and those of us that are older and are pretty knowledgeable, we know that they're not too knowledgeable on a lot of aspects of life, and that's a freaking shame. It really is. But we're here to help them, like Mike out in Wisconsin said. This show is about helping people. And we're going to help John hook up in a landscaping outfit because I have some connections who are family members in the state of Connecticut who own a landscaping business. And we're going to try to help out John and get him a job. So I'll go ahead and take the call. I'll start the first call right now. And I hope all of you tonight who are on the line participate. I have 23 people on the line live. I managed to figure out how to increase the screen where I can see all the numbers that are calling in. And I see you guys who are calling in. I know who you are. Only me, not anyone else. I'm the host, so I got to know. And I hope you press 1 and you contribute, no matter what is on your mind tonight. If not, I understand, maybe Sunday night you'll call in and participate. That's okay, too, because all of you will participate sooner or later. I know that. And I really want a lot of, some of you particularly, to participate. And I'm going to call a few of you out because I have a couple of questions for you, actually. I kind of want to know about ham radio. I kind of want to put this show kind of, I wonder if I could put this show on the ham radio type of sequence. So I know Joe and Sebastian Florida, if he's listening tonight, if he'd chime in and maybe answer a couple of my questions about, you know, operators' licenses with ham radios, I'd really appreciate it because I got, or I'll just call you personally when we're not on air. But I kind of want to know about ham radio operators because I think I can broadcast over a ham radio with this show also. I'm not sure. I don't know. And I don't know what type of license I need to own or operate a ham radio. So I know Joe in Florida, who's a family member of mine, he knows about that type of stuff. So if you are listening, I think you are, I'll scroll down. I really wish you'd press 1 and give me a little bit of your knowledge and background information about ham radios. If you're busy, I understand. Okay, thanks. He's queuing in, so that's great. Thanks. I'll go ahead. I'm going to connect you, Joe. Hey, how are you tonight, Joe?
Thanks a lot, Joe. I'm fine. Hope everybody's feeling that well.
Hey, Joe, my question is the ham radio, right? If I was to set up a ham radio connected to this studio, what kind of license do I have to broadcast, or what do I have to do to obtain a license to talk on a ham radio?
Well, you see, actually, it's a general class license to reach all over the place, okay? That would that puts you in touch with everybody wherever your signal goes to. The other type is a tech, and that's strictly local for people to do that. Now, I was state MARS director. I've never ran into this situation like that. But ordinary people could actually go through a telephone and be transmitted. Okay, telephone calls? Yes, I've sat right here in my house, and I've run a net for the Air Force, and we went. Actually, it was a group of Army personnel. They were 200 miles out in a Libyan desert, and he was using an
MCR-300.
Wow. Yeah,
that's interesting. Yeah.
Well, actually, they were. I was conducting the net, and then I heard break. I stopped everybody, and I answered whoever it was, and he told me he was out in the Libyan desert. He was on an SCR-300. That's I'm familiar with it. It's 20 watts, which is fantastic. And I ran a couple of phone patches for him. I had telephone line hooked up, and we went ahead and I ran a phone patch. He had one in Utah, another in Washington, and another one, I forgot where it was, but it was over, across the Mason-Dixon line, put it that way.
Yeah.
And then I asked them some questions about it. Couldn't ask him where he was because of what he was doing and how he was doing it. You couldn't even breach the subject. After I was done with the patch, it was Air Force here in Florida. So
really,
it was AFA 20F. And, people said, what kind of an antenna have you got, Joe? I told them I had a log periodic, which is 3/4 the size of my house, which is a big antenna.
And
it was up 50 feet. I put in a ground pattern before they put in topsoil on the ground, and so I had a good ground pattern. So basically, for Air Force personnel, you can run a phone patch or any type of military. This type of a phone patch, I don't know how it would work. I could find out and I could let you know. I think at this situation, first of all, you can't swear. You can't use foul language on the air. And then what the people wanted, there's always people listening on the ham bands. And also on other frequencies, I've got, oh, my God, I think I've got about 22 pages of Air Force frequencies. And, a lot of them are special frequencies and a lot of, seeing that I was St. Mars director, I had all of those things. So I could, tune different ones or plug them in and hit the button and bang, 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 just listening to different things, because there are things that you can hear, and some of them are quite interesting.
And Joe, that's what I wanted to ask you. Like, what kind of information, I want to get a ham operator's license, but, like, how valuable is that information you're picking up?
Well, you see, for those group of servicemen that were out in the Libyan desert and they had no way of contacting their home, with 20 watts, that's unbelievable. That's it. They were enthused. Other people, I'm calling you from Germany. I'm at Wiesbaden and talking to you. And thank the guy for running the patch for you. He doesn't have to pay for the call. from Wiesbaden all the way to where the call is going. And a general can work all ham bands with no problem. If you're a tech and you have a tech license, you can go ahead and there are other frequencies up to, 450. I used to operate 460, which was another Air Force frequency.
So
right now what has happened, they are trying to raise the prices. Before it used to be a couple of dollars for a ham license, and you send it in and up to Connecticut and the ARRL, and they used to send you back your license. Now somebody is handling it from Texas, and he wants $32 a year for a license. So, I don't know about that now.
I understand that. But back when you were doing it, it was only a couple dollars, and it was nothing, basically.
Right.
But now they're getting the racket on it. They're getting the money pool on it.
Right. Everybody seems to want the money for it, for whatever they're doing.
But is it worth it? Is it worth it for the information and the people that I could reach, do you think?
Well, you never know about those things. You don't know who you talk to. One day I was back. You see, I'm from Wallingford, Connecticut. I was using my ham radio, and I was talking to somebody. I forgot his call right now. But he said, my name is Hussein. Okay. I looked him up in the book. It was King Hussein of Jordan.
Really?
And,
oh, my Lord.
Well, And there's more to it than that. Well, everything was great. I had we had a great talk for about 20 minutes or something like that. And then when I went overseas, I had to make a trip over to Jordan. I had a briefcase to deliver.
Okay.
Well, I went to the palace, and this person came out, and he introduced himself as King Hussein. I says, okay.
Oh, my Lord.
I says, I spoke with you. He says, well, he was so nice, you know, it sounded like he was going to kiss me on the neck any second. Because, first of all, he was a very nice man, very nice. He says, what is your ham call? I said, well, it's K1TLP. Oh, okay. Please wait. Please wait. Please. And he brought somebody out to talk to me while he went into the other room. He came back and he says, yes, your name is Gibson. Your call is K1TLP. You are from Wallingford, Connecticut. And
we
had all the information set down. So
wow.
I felt pleased that he done all of that and he kept it. So I passed him the briefcase. It was full of gold, actually. It was his payoff. That is another story that I could tell on the air without bothering people. But there wasn't too many other people that I actually met over long distance like that, you know. But this one here, to me, it was very memorable.
Wow.
Yeah, Joe.
Hey, Joe, that is an awesome story. That is something that is for the archives. Let me tell you, that's great. Oh, man, I'm enthused by that. That's got me interested, actually. You could write a book on that.
Well, you do have to have the transmitter. I had a 1,000-watt transmitter, and your brother got that, by the way. I gave it to him.
Yes, I know.
And
wow.
I don't know what he's done with it, but he said that he still uses it, and the tubes in there, they were brand new tubes. It was a terrific unit.
Wow! Wow! Let me tell you, that's great. That's awesome. That's awesome. Well, hey, you shared a story that's worth $1 million. Let me tell you that. In my opinion, I mean, that's history. And what you just talked about, that briefcase with the gold in it, maybe one day in the future we could talk about that.
Well, that was payoff. That was payoff for what he has done with Iraq.
Yeah, no, I know. And you know what, Joe? I think maybe in the future, maybe we should do a show like that. I won't have anyone else call in, and we'll just get you on here and talk about your work, you know? I mean, the stuff that you're able to talk about without someone coming and knocking on your door and, you know, dragging you away. You know what I mean?
Well, here in the United States, when I was with the BATF up in Buffalo, I don't mind talking about that because nobody said Joe, don't say anything. But when I was over in Saudi Arabia, well, actually, I was in the UAE, the United Arab Republics, and
wow.
I was living on a boat. They came over to me and they said, oh, Steve Higgins speaks well of you. I said, well, thank you very much. I speak well of him, too. He's a nice guy. And they talked about what they were going to talk about, and they, at the end they says, I'd appreciate it very much, Joe, if you don't mention who we are or what we are. So I have never to this day mentioned who they are.
Okay.
And all in all, you know, they keep track of you.
They do. You're right, they do. But, Joe... But, Joe, what was the general purpose of your duties? I mean, like, for instance, what was the end goal? What were you doing? Just keeping things going along, keeping it smooth? I mean, what was – I can't say because you probably didn't have a job description, but what were your duties as far as, like, what was the end plan or end goal?
Okay, well, I was hired by one a pile-driving outfit, okay?
Okay.
My contract price was $80,000 in 1 year. and I was on a boat. It was actually it was a jack-up barge, a drilling barge, and they had another barge off to the side, a maintenance barge for repair. And I had no duty whatsoever to do a thing until something happened. Okay, I went over as an electrician. They found me. Okay, they know, they looked through our passports and everything. So they know who yeah. I was, what I was, and the whole story. That's how they come to see me. And for them, seeing that I had a master's license in electricity, I had a certified electronic technician license, plus other licenses, driver's license you don't need over there because you can't drive a car. So from there, They asked me if I wanted to do certain jobs for them, and I said, okay. I can't tell you what the jobs are. That's part of it, okay? But all in all, well, money-wise, I made as much as $8,000 in 1 week extra. From there,
wow.
Okay, every Friday I went down to a place called Cobar Towers. You might have heard it on TV.
I actually have. I've heard of that. Yeah, I've heard of that.
In 1977, they blew it up. And
wow.
I used to have to go down there to get the jobs or to get paid. Okay? And actually, they got three buildings. They're like 60 feet round. And maybe one, two, three, four, maybe four or five floors. I had to count them in mentally. So from that point, they have a couple of soddies. You know, we'd call them ragheads. But all
okay.
in all, they're watering the grass all day long. Okay, because it's about 112 degrees, and it's kind of hot, and it's desert. So they plant the grass. And they water it all day long just so that one section is wet all the time from the watering. So naturally the grass is green.
Okay.
So as far as I know, the person that I talked to, he's no longer, well, he's dead now. But you go in there and you start, he wants to tell you what the job is. And he goes ahead and he tells you all about it. Plus, he wants to tell you how to do the job. And if I'd done what he'd done, I wouldn't be there. Because how would you like to be in Cambodia, walking along? You got a guide with me. And then all of a sudden, he's saying, off the road, off, not the road, but the path. And here's, I don't know how many Khmer kids with rifles and uniforms walking down singing, okay? Met them, I would have been horse meat.
Well, that's right. As soon as they don't have any use for you or you don't do what they say or if they don't like you or you don't cooperate with them, like what did you just say? How'd you like to be in Cambodia, you know?
In Cambodia, it's a rough deal, okay? They don't hesitate one bit. For an American, they'd cut V's in my skin. And just watch me and they're laughing, you know, while I'm bleeding to death.
Wow.
You know what I mean
wow.
by a beat? A down,
yeah.
A cut, down,
no,
down.
No, I know. Yeah. Wow.
But,
that's amazing.
But some of the people, okay, they're named Pongs, not the Khmers. Nice people, friendly people. And they gave me a party when I left. And, well... I had a choice. I either ate boa constrictor or rat. So I ate the rat.
Oh my goodness, really?
I couldn't eat snake. Yeah. Oh, well, hey, snake.
Oh, Lord.
Over there.
Oh, my goodness. That was the dinner for the night, rat or snake?
Yeah, that was it. For the party that I had, it was either rat or snake. And,
oh, my Lord.
Well, they say that snake tastes like chicken. But I didn't want to take a chance. So the rat tasted like liver, if you know
wow.
what I mean by what
yeah.
liver tastes like. Okay.
No, I don't like liver, Joe.
Well, I'm not crazy over it, but I had a choice. I had to eat something.
You weren't getting Burger King or McDonald's, right?
That's right. That's right. There's no Wendy's
wow.
there either.
Wow. Hey, Joe, this is awesome. I'm telling you, really, this was a great conversation. Hey, and I'll check in with you in the future because, you know what, privately I'd like to talk to you privately and hear those stories. But what you shared tonight is amazing. I mean, I really appreciate it. Thank you so much.
Well, you're welcome. I hope you understand that I made a promise a long time ago, and I never tried. I never tried to do anything, you know, break it.
Yeah. Hey, listen, Joe, but yeah, if you ever need, I mean, if you ever want to call in or just even talk about something that's bothering you, I mean, if there's anything I could do or anyone who's listening tonight that can help you, because really, you are a beneficial person to this show and to our family and to the community, whether or not you believe it or not or want to believe it. So, you know, I'll try to do everything I can on my end to, hey, listen, you got something you want to share, like I said, just, give me a call on my home phone or on the show, you know?
Okay, I got your phone number. Okay, Joe, we'll see you then.
All right, thank you. Yeah, you too. Thank you very much. Thank you. That was Joe from Florida. That was a little history lesson for everybody. Joe from Florida, he gave you a little history lesson from when he worked out over there in Saudi Arabia in the Middle East during the 1970s. You know, you need to respect these people. These people did very important things, whether or not directly or indirectly for this country or for certain companies or businesses. And he gave us a lot of advice. He helped me out with the ham radio. Hey, ham radio sounds like a good way to go. I can get in contact on this show with a lot of people who may want to have something important to say. So I'll talk with him privately about the ham radio's operator's license, so maybe we can expand this show instead of talking to these deadbeats that don't want to call into the show. You know, we'll talk to people around the world who's got something important to say that we don't know about, like Joe was just informing us about, you know? So this was a good show so far. Thank you very much, Joe. Wow. I really respect that. I got a lot more respect for Joe in Florida there. That's great. The stuff he shared tonight. I got someone else on the line, so I'll put him through. We only got about 7 minutes left to the show, so I know I only booked it for an hour tonight, but I'll put this guy, he's been waiting for a while, just Joe and Meredith, another Joe, and I'll put him through. Hopefully he'll have a comment on what Joe had to say in Florida. But hey, Joe, thanks very much in Florida. That was very much enlightening what you had. Joe and Meredith, hey, go ahead, I'll put you through.
Yeah, it's me. I'm remaining incognito right now, so that's okay. Yeah, what he's talking about, he's probably talking about 80 meters or something like that, where the antenna would be like 250 feet long for a full-wave antenna, but you could get something in your yard. But if you're looking to do any form of transmitting with power, you can't do it from where you are. Your brother would be able to tell you a lot more about that. If you go to ARRL.org, you can read about everything you probably need to know on that site right there. I don't believe there's a code test anymore for the lower licenses, you know, like .it, .it, .da, .da, stuff like that. That means calling all CQ. And I don't think you have to know that anymore. But you could start off and then work up. So it'll be experience and it'll be a little trip to get there, but you could do it, and at least you could get a receiver out there anyway and receive the frequencies.
Okay, well, what did you think about what Joe had to share about his history there over there in the Middle East? That was pretty interesting. He had me on the edge of my seat.
Yes, it's amazing what some of these people go through. You remember, I lived through it, so I'm pretty knowledgeable about what he was talking about. But as you can see, it's amazing what these older people that are sitting down watching TV that you don't think much of anymore actually did and actually went through, you know?
Yeah. Very important.
You know, when we were living up there on that street, we had a blizzard one night, and I just about made it home from work in the car with tire chains on it and everything like this, and he came home by limo in the blizzard from where he was.
No way.
Yes, he did. Yes, he did.
Wow.
Yes, he did. That's right.
Well, that shows he had connections then.
Yeah, you go through a lot in a lifetime.
That's right.
A lifetime goes by real quick, but it goes by real fast.
Well, that's right. And then when it's over, you wish, you know, you would have done different things when you were younger. And,
of course.
Listen, all things happen in the heat of the moment, but at the same time, that's why I asked Joe to call in tonight, because, you know, he's got a lot of experience that we don't know anything about, and that's why ham radio licenses and stuff like that, that was an important topic, because, you know, I was looking into that, and he gave me a lot of advice about that, and you did too. So I want to look into that, because I can expand, because you know what? Hey, on airwaves right now, I'm not getting a really – I mean, I'm getting a lot of contributors and impressions on the show. I mean, by impressions, what I mean by hits, and they're listening to the show, but not contributing. But he was talking about – he was talking to King Hussein in Georgia.
Yeah.
In Georgia.
Yeah. Well, you know, hindsight's always 20/20. And like I said, you can get a receiver and start listening to 80 meters. 80 meters is 3.5 to 4 megacycles, I believe. And it's 75 or 80 meter band. That's what it is. And that's where you can talk long distances. I have a technician license, what he was talking about. I can talk in frequencies up to 450 megacycles. That's real small antennas. The 80 meter antenna, like I'm talking about, a full length, a full wave is 250 feet long, but you don't go by the full length anyway. But the 450 megacycles, the 2 meters, the things like that, that's line of sight communications. Basically, you know, a few miles and everything, you get reliable communications. You're not going to talk around the world or across the United States with it or anything.
Yeah.
Well,
It's like CB's 27 megacycles. So how far can you really talk on CB? Yeah, I talked to here. Yeah, but that's on skip and everything like that. So, you know, that's not reliable.
Yeah. Well, hey, Joe, we'll talk about that in private, too. And also Joe in Florida, I'll give him a call in private, too, because, like I said, I want to get more information. I know he can only tell me what he could on the air live. Mm-hmm. But, hey, you know, we got 2 minutes and 25 seconds left. Hey, look, I want to
quick? Before you go, I want to tell you, yeah, because if you remember Tom, my buddy, my father's friend that I used to hang around with, Jason, your brother, he got a few transceivers from him that he still may have that may be almost working that you could probably use for listening.
Okay. All right.
So you can ask him.
Yeah, I will.
All right.
Hey, listen, thanks for everyone participating. We've got about 2 minutes left, and they only gave me an hour tonight. They would not let me do 90 minutes. Why, I don't know, because maybe they got too many people on the frequency. I don't know the bandwidth. I don't know, but they only gave me 60 minutes. But, hey, it worked out anyway. We got some good information tonight. Joe in Florida, thank you very much for participating. Joe and Meriden, thank you very much. I think tonight was a good show. It was informational. We'll go ahead and wrap it up. We got a minute and 50 seconds left. God bless all of you. Take care. I hope Joe in Florida is healthy. Take care of himself. Watches out for the people and the scammers. Yeah, they just gave me the cue in right there. All right. Well, anyway, watch out for people because they're up to no good. Trust very few, but love everybody. All right. Good night. God bless. Take care.
Councils of government, we must guard against the acquisition of unwarranted influence, whether sought or unsought, by the military-industrial complex.
In Dallas, Texas, 3 shots were fired at President Kennedy's motorcade in downtown Dallas. The first reports say that President Kennedy has been seriously wounded by this shooting.
It is a big idea, a new world order.
It was almost as if it were a planned implosion. It just pancaked.
Either you were with us, or you were with the terrorists.
But I also believe that a lot of gun owners would agree that AK-47s belong in the hands of soldiers, not in the hands of criminals.